Today's shiur is entitled Many Ways to One God, Pluralism Within Orthodoxy, Compromise or Ideal. It is related to Parshat Re'eh, both the Parsha itself and its Haftorah. We begin by looking at a famous statement in Devarim Yud Dalid Aleph. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, lo tigodudu v'lo tasimu karcha bein einechem lamet. You are the children of the Lord your God. You shall not gash yourselves, nor shall you put a bald spot between your eyes when a person dies. We are familiar with the idea that in the ancient world, in fact it's still done today in some places, that when someone would pass away, people would actually tear at themselves and cause themselves to bleed and pull their hair out of their head. They did this because, being that this was the end of the person and he was gone forever, so thereby, of course, they revealed in these actions terrible pain, affliction, and suffering. However, and the Ramban comments upon this, we know that according to Jewish tradition, even though the physical body decays and is destroyed, yet the soul continues to survive. So while it is true that we are pained by the fact that we no longer have the connection and the relationship as we did with the individual who has passed on, still, because as we say here, God loves us, the God that we understand, God continues to nourish and to care for the soul of the person after he's passed on, it is thereby inappropriate for us to show such grief as a result of someone dying. Also, however, brought in this pasuk is another prohibition. Under this heading and under the statement, lo tigodudu, you shall not tear yourselves up, is brought down in the Gemara Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, a prohibition as well of separating the unity of Klal Yisrael into different factions, cutting the body of Klal Yisrael apart, if you will. In fact, the Rambam, when he brings this down in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he says, "Bichlal Asara Zeh Shelo Yushne Batei Dinim Beirachat Zenoheg Keminhag Zeh VeZenoheg Keminhag Acher." Shidavar zeh garem lo achloket gedolot. Shenamar lo tigodudu. Lo tasu agudot agudot. The Rambam says that this prohibition, it would seem, of gashing is interpreted to mean on a simple level, that is to say on a Torahitic level, that one is not allowed to divide up Klal Yisrael into different segments. And why not? The Rambam says, because this will lead to a machloket. This will lead to arguments amidst Klal Yisrael. It's interesting that the Rambam says this is the reason. Rashi, in the Gemara there in Yevamos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Bet, says it's another reason. While the Rambam says it's because of machlokes, people are doing different things, it's going to lead to arguments. Rashi says, because it looks like there are two Torahs. If people are doing different things, then we know there's one Torah that came from Hashem, but this looks like there are two Torahs. And that's why he says this is inappropriate and we have this prohibition of dividing up into different factions in the service of Hashem. It's interesting as well that many hold that, as opposed to the Rambam, we said the Rambam says that you shouldn't have two courts in the same city behaving in different ways. Well, we know in fact that many others hold that that's specifically the way in which it's okay to have different viewpoints, to have different perspectives. If you have two different entities who are different halachic authorities, let us at least say for different communities, then it can be understood that each community can follow its halachic authority. The prohibition, according to most, is if you have the notion of people doing different things in one place, under one Beit Din, under one Rav, under one roof, under one halachic authority, then, especially, you have this notion of being divided up. However, if, let us say, according to most views, the communities are divided up, they already have their own different minhagim and customs and halachic authorities, then there would be no prohibition. According to the Rambam, though, the Rambam says even in one city, you shouldn't have people acting differently. In other words, the Rambam himself agrees that there is a point where you can have different customs and behavior being carried out by different members of Klal Yisrael, but it should only be, he seems to say, if people are in different cities. However, in one city, there should only be one type of behavior that is followed by everyone. Again, the Rambam's view being that otherwise there could be machlokas. We know there are nafkaminas in regards to these views. There are great discussions, we're not going to get into them from the poskim, concerning the application of loti godedu to the liturgy, to davening if you nusach sfard and nusach ashkenaz shul and vice versa, to wearing tefillin on chol hamoed or not wearing them, all different sorts of shilas that come up, standing up for part of the service where others in the shul sit, all sorts of shilas that arise that we are not going to look at this time. However, we do just want to point out that, and many point this out, that the machlokas of Rashi and the Rambam in terms of the reason of loti godedu, is it like Rashi says that it shouldn't look like there are two Torahs, or is it like the Rambam says because it'll cause a machlokas? So a nafkamina would be if something is a minach, if something is just a custom. If something is a custom, so according to Rashi it would seem that there would be no violation of loti godedu, of one dividing himself up from the others around him, because it doesn't look like two Torahs. Rashi says that the prohibitions look like they're two Torahs. But a minhag is not a Torah. It's not mitzvah. A minhag is not on the level, the status of a Torah type of concept. So consequently, in a case of a minhag, the poskim say that according to Rashi, loti godedu would not apply. Maybe he'd still say, loti frosh minat tzibor, you're not allowed, because of another notion we have, to separate yourself. But in terms of loti godedu, and that the pure vision of it that the text is talking about, that would not be violated if it was only a custom involved, according to Rashi. Where, according to the Rambam, since the whole idea is it should not lead to a machlokas, to an argument, so not only would it be prohibited because of loti godedu for one to separate himself and do differently than others around him, but in fact, we could even say it'd be a greater prohibition in terms of a minhag, because as we know, minhagim is where many of the fights come out between different groups of Jews. Dafka in minhagim, on Torahitic level and on other mitzvahs, so there often people agree, you know, this is a Torahitic mitzvah. And when it comes to a minhag, dafka, that's where people kind of fight with each other the most, at least a great machlokas. So there is an afkamina, they say, between Rashi and the Rambam on this point. In any event, certainly ideally, it would seem from the thought being expressed in our parsha of Loti Godedu, that Jews on this deeper level of the pshat, not just applying to dividing up or cutting one's body up, but cutting up the body of Klal Yisrael into different segments and different factions. Certainly, ideally, it would seem that everyone should hold the same way, and there should be a unified vision of how one serves Hashem and the truth therein. However, let us turn now to the Haftorah. In the Haftorah, we have the following statement. And as we said in the Parsha, Banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem, you are children to the Lord your God. I am again going to bring in a pasuk, maybe this is how we tie in one way, the Parsha to the Haftorah, as we know, is always done. Maybe we tie it to this particular verse in the Haftorah, which says, we know, V'chol banayich limudei Hashem, V'rav shalom banayich. When all of your children shall be learned of Hashem, shall be students of Hashem, V'rav shalom banayich. Then, as is usually translated perhaps, then great will be the peace of your children. This, of course, becomes used in a famous statement of Chazal. In fact, we mention Ashkenazim mention on Shabbos. Nisach Sfard says it all the time. Am Rabbi Elazar, Am Rabbi Chanina, Tamid HaChamim, Rabbim Shalom Ba'olam. Rabbi Elazar said the name of Chanina, the Tamid HaChamim, Torah scholars increase peace in the world. Shenemar, as it says, V'chol Banayach Limudei Hashem, when all of your children, all of God's children, will be learned of God, will be Tamid HaChamim, V'rav Shalom Banayach, so great will be the peace of your children, of those who learn. So Tamid HaChamim, increase peace in the world. And it goes on to say, as we know, do not read your children, that these are your children, but your builders, in that they upbuild the world. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik did not like this explanation, I recall. He says, Bonayich does not mean builders. What do you mean? Don't call them your children, call them your builders. What does that have to do with builders? It does not have to do with builders. But Rav Aaron said it meant, Bonayich comes from the word bina. And thereby it should be understood to mean that when all understand Hashem, when all your children understand Hashem, the Rav Shalom Banayich, great will be the peace of your children, but great will be the peace because they understand the words of Hashem. Those Banayich become Bonayich, become those who thoroughly understand God's word, and thereby this certainly leads to peace in the world. In his Ein Ayah, Rav Kook's commentary upon Masechet Brachot, where this Gemara is found at the very end of the Gemara, Rav Kook makes the following statement concerning the role of pluralism within the Torah understanding of the world. Yesh Toim, he says, Shechoshim Shalom Olami Lo Yibanek Ima Yedeit Sivyon Echad Bideot V'Tchunot. There are those who hold, basically, says Rav Kook, that in order for there to be world peace, such a thing can only be established through one perspective in terms of all thoughts and opinions. Therefore, when people see that Torah scholars are investigating with wisdom a certain issue, and by involving themselves in this investigation, in this study, it turns out that there are many different views and perspectives that are generated. Choshim shavazeh him gorim l'machloket v'hefech ha-shalom. So people say, as a result, and I used to always hear this as a joke, people would say, Talmid HaChamim Rabim Sholom Olam, Torah scholars increase peace in the world. What kind of crazy thing is that? We know that Torah scholars are always engaged in machloket. And that's what Rav Kook says here, that in fact people joke about it. They think that Torah scholars are always involved in machloket and having arguments, just the opposite of what the goal of peace is, that everyone should be on the same page. Ube'emet ain't okay. It's not so, says Rav Kook. Ki ha-shalom ha-amiti, i-efshar shi-avo le-olam, ki im dafka ayidei toar shal ribui ha-shalom. It's not true at all, says Rav Kook. In fact, true peace can only come to the world specifically through a multiplicity of peace. Haribui shel ha-shalom hushit ra'u kol ha-tzadim v'chol ha-shitot shi'esh b'chokhmah. This multiplicity of peace comes about through a vision of all sides and all perspectives that wisdom provides. V'itbaruru eich kulam yesh lahem makom. Kol davar lefi ercho mikomo v'inyano. And then it is clarified how each of the different views, how all of them, have their place in accordance to their value and their subject matter. I remember when I was at Columbia University working on my master's degree in education, I had a professor named Professor Philip Phoenix, a brilliant man, who wrote a wonderful book called Realms of Meaning, which was, in fact, the expression, his book, of the class, of what the class subject matter was. And his theory was, throughout the class, in every session, that the only way one can properly understand the world is through looking at it through all different perspectives, by which he meant through all the different ways of knowing, through biology, through chemistry, through mathematics, through psychology, through psychiatry, through history, through philosophy, through the arts, through music, through literature. Every different aspect and area of knowledge in this world gives us a different view and a more deeply felt understanding of the world in which we live. Rav Kook is saying the same thing from a Torah perspective, and of course it goes well with the Kabbalistic view that he has. The idea of Shleimus, we know, very big to Rav Kook. We're talking about Shalom now, which means peace, but also Shleimus, as we'll see again in a moment. That by looking from all different perspectives, he says, is in fact the way to get the full, complete Torah understanding of any item. And this is not something that generates machlokas, but in fact generates pure and complete peace in the world. He goes on to say, Al-Kain, Tamidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Olam. This is why Torah scholars increase peace in the world. Ma Shehem Archivim, the fact that they expand the horizons of learning. U'miyaldim Divrei Chochma Chadashim. And they create new types of wisdom and understanding when looking at a particular point. In doing so, they in fact increase the peace. As it says, and all your children shall learn of the Lord. Kulam yakiru shekulam. They will all understand. All your children will understand, and therefore come to an understanding of God, that even things that seem to be contradictory in nature and in their vantage points, as it seems, Hema kulam limudei Hashem, they all are things that contribute to the learning and understanding of God. The Rav Shalom Banayich, he says, and then peace shall be great of your children. Lo amar gadol Shalom Banayich, says Rav Kook. It does not say, as we translated it originally, because that's how most translate it. It does not say, then great shall be the peace of your children. Shemora al tziur guf echad gadol. If you would say, then great will be the peace, that talks about, therefore, one entity, one great entity of peace. She'az hayu advarim mitraimim la'oto ha-ra'ayon ha-medume she'ashalom saruch hudavka l'dvarim achadim v'shivu irayanot. He says, if that were the case, then it would go against everything I've said so far. This would seem to indicate, this view, this translation, that peace, again, has to be of one ilk, that everything has to be made one and the same. But he says, as we pointed out, this is not the case. Kior hadat sarich letzeit lechotz dadav. The light of knowledge has to go and be brought out from all perspectives. L'chol ha'panim shel ora sheyesh bo, from all the different vantage points of light. V'haribui hu rav shalom b'nayich. And the idea, when it says rav shalom b'nayich, doesn't mean great shavu'ah peace, but ribui, in multiplicity, shall be your peace. He goes on to say, Atikre b'nayich el b'nayich, do not say they are your children, rather your builders. Habinyan yibane mechelakim shonim. A building, he says, is made out of different parts. It's not all made out of the same thing. In fact, in supporting this statement by Rav Kook, the Karen Ora at the end of Masechet Yevamos says a similar idea. He says that when it comes to a building which is the example given, he says, Dugmat bone binyan, asher bonin yifardu zemizeh, zelet safon, zelet darom, v'mizrach l'marav, v'heim urchakim zemizeh, v'chol zot ayideyem yibane binyan shalim. Mibnei shekavanatam ela tachlit achat lasot habinyan shalem. He says beautifully that builders, when they create a structure, they don't seem to be in agreement. They're not next to each other. They're far away from each other. I might add to what he's saying, we might say you have someone working on the concrete, someone else working on the pipe, someone else working on the electric, someone else working on the foundation, someone else working on the roof. Everyone is working from a different perspective on a different part of the building. But obviously, because their goal is to create that one structure and have that structure function in a proper fashion, as he says, lechaber et ha'ohel liyot echad, to join together the tent, the structure, and make it all one. So therefore, he says, that's why it all works appropriately. And so too, Hachachami Memachalotehen, says the Karen Ora. The Chachamim, with all their arguments, Yikav Nuel Mikor Echad, they still have an intent toward one source. Lomdin Torah Lishma, they are learning Torah for the sake of heaven. That is their one goal. Lehasig yichudo v'yachduto yiparach, in order to come to a better understanding of the Ribbono Shalom himself. V'yayidei zeh mitrabeh shalom v'achduta. And that's why peace becomes increased and unity becomes increased, even though they are looking at things from a different perspective. Rav Kook says it, as does the Karen Ora. And when everything finds its particular place, which is the goal, Rav Kook says, of all the different perspectives of knowledge, bazeh tivna chachma beta, then the home, the structure of wisdom, is soundly established. You have to look at everything from the inside, from the outside, from all different viewpoints, from a plurality of views, in order for there to be completeness that is going to be achieved. And then by doing this, he goes on to say, we mentioned at the end of the paragraph in the davening, Hashem Ozi, Amo Yitein, Hashem Varech, Amo Vashalom, Birkat Hashalom, Haba Mi'aoz, the blessing of peace, which comes from strength, Hi Shalom shel hitachdut kol ha'hapachim. What is strength? Is it defeating something in viewpoints that disagree with you? No. It's not condemning those viewpoints, but integrating those viewpoints. Someone who's strong can integrate others into his place, into his vision.
אבל צריך שימסרו הפכים כדי שיהיה מי שיעבור ומש, מי שיעבוד ומי שיתאחדו. ואז הברכה ניכרת על ידי כוח אלו ואלו דברי אלוקים חיים. When you have different viewpoints, and you have different entities coming to each other, even if they clash. So that's how the work is to be done that will eventually unite everything together and will create, even though they are different words and different perspectives, the living God, the God that we worship. In Cain, Shalom Hushmo Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, why is it that peace is one of the names of God, Shehu Baal HaKochot Kulam, because God is the master over all the different forces in the world. HaKol Yachol V'Chol Olam Yachad. What does He do? He has power over all of them, and He includes them all together in one great entity of completeness. And so too, that is true peace. Not one way, but different ways, coming together, everything in its proper place, in order to allow for a peace from strength, a peace from strength. Hashem oz li'amo yiteng, Hashem yivarech et amo v'shalom. I'd like to just provide my own examples of this thought. We see this is the case, that there are different entities that seem to be contradictory to each other, that in fact are entities that we believe in our perspective of Torah generate the idea of peace. For example, we know that in Birkas Kohanim, we have the first bracha, Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha, that Rashi and others comment, may the Lord bless you and keep you. This refers to your nechasim, to your physical possessions. May you have them protected. May God bless you and protect you in terms of the physical realm. Ya'er Hashem panav elecha v'chunecha. May God enlighten you and show His grace upon you. V'chunecha also v'chunecha mi'ashon chinuch. Light we know ein ora l'Torah. May God give you spiritual understanding and educate you. So we have the physical notion of bracha in the first of the Birkas Kohanim, and the spiritual bracha in the second. Because of course, imein kemach, ein Torah, we know if you first have to have physical life, you have to have possessions, you have to have food, you have to be able to be protected in terms of your life. Only then can you live spiritually. That's why Pikuach Nefesh, of course, is basically Docha Kol HaTorah Kula for the most part. So thereby you have the physical and the spiritual, and then finally, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha V'yasem Lecha Shalom. May God turn His face unto you and grant you peace. Peace comes in the third bracha. And what is the idea of peace in the third bracha? The bracha for peace, the request there is relevant to the first two. May there be a proper balance between the bracha for physical needs and for spiritual needs. May one not overwhelm the other. It seems like the two are actually contradictory to each other and cannot coexist, but it's not so. The idea of shalom, that there be peace between them, that there be harmony, unity, a wholesomeness, a balance. All this is in the bracha of the shalom, of shalom in Birkas Kohanim. In Kaddish, the last line we know of the full Kaddish that we say is Oseh Shalom Bimromav. Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'Alko Yisrael Bimromain. May God who makes peace in the heavens bring peace to us and to all of Israel. What does it mean? We know Mepharshim say that God makes peace in the heavens. What? Why? Is there war in the heavens? We know that we're told that in the heavens there are both fire and water. There is lightning and there is rain. All these things yet coexist together in the heavens. How can they coexist? Shouldn't one wipe the other one out? No. You can have these different entities, this plurality, if you will, and yet there is still shalom between them. There is still a completeness, a wholeness that can exist. So too, in terms of shalom bayit, when it comes to a marriage and the allowance for husband and wife to live in peace with each other. Living in peace does not mean that a husband and wife agree about everything in their marriage. It does not mean that at all. Sometimes, by the way, people get married, and when they look for shiduchim, they look to get married, they too often look for someone who is exactly like he or she is. They think that that's how they will get rid of machlokas and have shalom, if they agree on every little thing. It's not true. The key is not agreeing on everything, that everything should be the same. That's not shalom. In fact, the key to a good marriage, we might even suggest, is having kochok shonot, is having different entities, different skills, different approaches from the spouses. How often do we know a marriage where one, let's say, spouse is very loud, very outspoken, very strong, very confident, and the other is more humble, more mild, more easygoing? You would think such two people can never be together in one house. You have people who are, on the one hand, very aggressive and like to involve themselves in sports and be out there in the public eye. And then you have people who are very calm, and they don't want anyone, they're bitsanua, they don't want anyone to notice them. And yet, I know a lot of couples like this who are married to each other. And you ask sometimes, how could they be married to each other? They're totally opposite. They no way can they get along. And it's really not true at all. The notion of shalom, as we said, is having a proper balance, a proper working of the different entities. In fact, when it comes to marriage, the idea is to have the shleimus that you want, that you're lacking as one individual, is to have that other person, the partner that one chooses, to fill in the gaps that one has in one's life, to create that shleimus, that fullness. That's what shalom bayis is. It's not that everything is the same. It's the proper balancing of the different kochos. And that's the challenge to any marriage. It's not to make your spouse exactly like you. It's to be able to work out the balances that you have in your marriage, to be able to live with each other despite the different approaches that you both have, and learn from each other in order to make yourselves even stronger. Hashem owes Liyamo Yitain Hashem Yivarech Ramo Vashalom, that through peace and strength together is an even greater entity that is created. Rav Kook even goes so far to extend this notion beyond orthodoxy itself and Torah perspective to the entire world in an amazing statement that he makes in his work Musar Avicha, talking about the love that is incumbent upon Jews toward all others. He says, the highest level and status of love for God's creatures, which we must have, relates to the love of the human being. And this needs to be spread over all of mankind. In spite of all differences in opinions, in religions, and in faiths. And despite all of the distinctions that are held of different viewpoints, of different climates, Nachon adavar laredet b'sof datam shel ha'amim v'akibutzim hashonim, kama she'efshar lilmod et ofyam v'et echunoteihem. It is fitting, he says, to try to descend toward the purpose of the views of all nations and groups in their different realms, as to the degree that it's possible to learn from their character and personality. The mandat echlevaseis et ahava anoshit al yisodot hamitkarvim lemaaseh. In order to have an understanding of how to base the love for humanity upon foundations that will lead to practical ramifications. Ki rak al nefesh hashira biava briot va'avat adam tuchal ahavat uma litnasei bigaon atzilta bigedulata ruchanit va'amasit. Because only a rich soul in the love of creatures and the love of man is able thereby to lead to a love of the nation, the ability of the nation to be elevated to the highest possible reality of greatness in spirituality and in practical living. V'tsaro ta'ayin ha'goremet lirot b'chol ma shechutz l'gvul ha'uma ha'miyuchedet. Now Rav Kook says an amazing thing, as being such a nationalist that he was, that shows his incredible universal nature as well. He says, and the narrow-mindedness, the narrow vision that causes one to see that everything that is external to the national interest, to the special group interest of the Jewish people, afilu im hu chutz legvul Yisrael, anything that is even outside of the borders of Israel and the Jewish people, rak ki or vituma, whoever sees there just disgust and impurity, he me'amach shechim anoraim shigormim harisa klalit lechol binyan atov haruchani. This is from, he says, the awful, the terrible things of darkness that cause the general destruction of the entire good structure of spirituality that is attempted to be created. Shekol nefesh adina mitzapeh le'oro. That every precious soul awaits for its light. So Rav Kook, taking the notion of plurality of views beyond just within the Torah framework, and extending it now to the framework of mankind in general, and the obligation we have as religious Jews to appreciate the plurality of perspectives that are a part of the viewpoints of the nations of the world in general, even beyond the unique perspective that we have through the vision of our Torah. At the end of days, the Medrash says in Yalkut Shimoni, interestingly, B'chol banayich limudei Hashem, on this verse that we are quoting, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Ba'olam hazeh Yisrael lomdim mipi basar badam. In this world, God says, human beings must learn from flesh and blood. Lefichach mishachachin ota. Therefore, they forget their learning. Because the Torah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu, who was of flesh and blood. And just like flesh and blood will one day disappear, so too does one's learning disappear. Shenemar, as it says in Mishle, eventually one's eyes become tired and a person no longer exists. Avalati lavo, but in the future, Ein Yisrael lomdim ela mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Jewish people will learn directly from God Himself. Shenemar, as it says, as we've quoted in our Haftarah, V'chol banayich limudei Hashem, and all of your children shall learn, it says, of God or directly from God. V'chein hu omer, and so does it say in Yirmiyahu, Lo yilmedu od ish et achi v'ish et reyehu. No longer will a person learn from his fellow man, from his brethren. U'kishem she'alokim chai b'kayam li'olam, and just like God himself lives forever and ever, kach limudo, so too his learning. Ma shelomding mimenu, and therefore one who learns from God, when we learn from the Ribono Shelam in the world to come, einam shochachim le'olam. These lessons we learn will not be forgotten forever. Shenemar, as it says, v'yirshu beit Yaakov et morishehem. And then it says, the house of Jacob will inherit that which it is fit to inherit. Ve'ein morshehem ela Torah. And when it says the inheritance of the Jewish people, we know that this means specifically Torah. Shenemar, as it says, Torah tzivaladu Moshe morasha kilat Yaakov. It says that the inheritance that was given to the Jewish people, that belongs to them through Moshe Rabbeinu from the Ribono Shel Olam, is the Torah. In reviewing our thoughts, we have an idea of lo tigodedu, the Torah tells us. It would seem an idea of everything being the same, of everything being done in a unified fashion. And maybe it is that way to some degree when it comes to practical halacha, when it comes to action, at least when everyone is in the same place. There should strive to be, either because of Rashi's view, that there should be one Torah in our focus, or that there should be no machlokas, that everything in one place, in one entity, should be the same when it comes to perhaps halacha lemaisa. But certainly, as we have seen from Rav Kook, that when it comes to the notion of limud haTorah, of knowledge, of dea, of yediyas Hashem, of an understanding of the world of God, just like as we emphasize in the secular world, that all the different disciplines of knowledge must be considered in order to properly have a full understanding of a particular entity. That so too, in the realm of Torah, it has to be a notion of multiplicity of viewpoints and perspectives in order that it should be the case that there should be shalom, peace, shlemus, wholeness, completion. And Rav Kook even extended this notion and broadened it into the integration of the views of all peoples and all nations, loving them, looking deeply into their own systems, and appreciating their perspectives as well, and the contributions that can be made by them toward the overall structure of mankind and of the world. Hashem oz li'amo yitein. Hashem yivarech et amo v'shalom. With that type of strength that God gives us to understand the value of different perspectives, to understand that we don't have to condemn and knock down viewpoints that are different from our own. Indeed, we will be given the strength to ultimately have true peace among us and respecting the different vantage points that we all come from and all contribute to the understanding of Torah. And in the end, that will lead, as the Medrash has said, to ultimately being able to connect directly to Hashem, to learn from Him, and to remember that knowledge forever in our relationship with Him in the world to come.